Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues day by day. I pray that as you tune in, that it will be informative, inspirational, educational, and that you'll invite others to join with you each day as we face the issues together. This is a Q&A broadcast. This broadcast is designed around you, our listening audience, for you to participate. We invite you to do so today especially. We're going to be talking about today, are we thankful? We're in the Thanksgiving season. We'll be talking about Thanksgiving and being thankful today. The question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, are we thankful? Are you thankful? What are you thankful for? During the course of this broadcast today, we're inviting you, our listener, to call in. You can just say, this is John, Jane, Sammy, whatever the name may be. You don't need to give full name, last name, and address, but just call in, say, this is John. I want you to tell us just briefly what you're thankful for at this Thanksgiving season. It's an open mic time today with the Thanksgiving season. We invite you to participate. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of this broadcast, we'll have a brief monologue. Following the monologue, we're going to ask you to join in and share with our listening audience some of the things that you are thankful for. I believe perhaps one of the greatest dangers in our nation today, one of the greatest things that we face today, the most detrimental thing in America today, is that of ingratitude. Ingratitude. Not being thankful. Not being grateful for what we have and what God has done for us. I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not talking about the accumulation of things and possessions and position and priorities and prestige. I'm talking about just those things that God does for us and provides for us each day. During the course of this broadcast, I'm going to use several good illustrations of testimonials from others of what God has done and how they're thankful even in the midst of turmoil and difficulties in life. And I pray that you will join in today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as it used to be sung in Vacation Bible School with kids of yesteryear. Ladies and gentlemen, John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that should grasp our attention, should get our focus, and understand that we live in a world of lying today, a world of deceit today, a world that denies the truth of the word of God. And it should cause the Christian to realize that that is what we're faced with. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear. Orwell said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be very true today, especially in a socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist, democratic society of which we're living in today, where it seems that truth has been turned upside down, inside out, or absolutely eviscerated completely. This is the reason I like the quote from former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said, among other things, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet this is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in the Christian churches. This is the reason I go back to one of the famous statements by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. So my challenge is to you, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day on this broadcast, at precisely this same time, my challenge to you is to stand for truth. Love the truth, listen to the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, and defend the truth. Stand on the truth, even if I have to stand alone. I tell people from the pulpit and from the classroom, I'm going to take a stand on the truth of the Word of God if the whole world denies it, rejects it, and stands against me. And that ought to be your mantra, your modus operandi, and the manner in which you live your life. We ought to stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company dealing and specializing in the business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowner brands with named brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the Honda generators for the backup generation power. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions, ladies and gentlemen, about professional lawn care equipment or homeowner brand lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask the question, how can I find that? Very, very simple, ladies and gentlemen, at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag there, flagpole flying 165 feet in the air for the flag. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to have Pastor Glenn Davis with us today. Pastor Davis and I have a good time, especially on Fridays, where we talk about spiritual things, biblical things, principles and concepts that we ought to inculcate in our lives, especially as Christians. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for being with us today. Looking forward to what God says through each of us as we talk about Thanksgiving.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And I first want to thank God, amen, for being able to be a part of this broadcast. I want to say good morning, amen, to my bride of 35 years, my grandson, amen, JJ, listening this morning. Good morning to all of you. Good morning to my big sister down in St. Mary's. I got a big listening audience, and I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Since I've been on the show, Dr. Youngblood, it's been such a blessing, not only to me, but also to my family and friends as well. And people are learning a lot from the discussion that we are having here.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. Thank God for my family down in South Florida.
Yes.
How they received me on last week.
Amen.
Bruce, this morning, thank God for you. Love you.
Amen.
Amen. And appreciate you tuning in and listening to us this morning.
Well, Pastor, I'm thankful for that and for what you're saying for the listening audience. Perhaps you want to take 1 minute and tell folks that's listening, especially up in the folks in there, where they need to be in church Sunday.
Well, come on down. I mean, country boys always got the doors are wide open.
Amen.
To us, amen, amen. We love everybody and God loves everybody too.
Amen.
But come on down and find WWLTC. Amen. Whosoever will, let them come. Outreach Ministries. Amen. If you don't have any other place to go, we always welcome you.
Amen.
500 Central Street over in the big city, amen, of Homeland. Amen. Is where we're located. Amen. But all of that's a part of Folsom. It's a stone's throw.
That's right.
Outside of the city limits. But we're all connected together and we love each other. Thank God. Love you this morning. Mayor Gowan. Amen. And Chief Wesley Green. Amen. Amen. All of you. Amen. All of my fine friends over in Folsom. I know everybody from the top to the bottom, and they know me, and we love each other.
Amen. That's the way it should be.
Amen.
You talk about Homeland. I preached a revival there for a little church. I've forgotten the name of the church back in the late 70s. And it was just a spot in the road.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for you and for your ministry and for what God is doing. And ladies and gentlemen, we're looking forward to what you're going to say about what God is doing in your life and how thankful you are. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're blessed to have this season of the year called Thanksgiving. I don't know if you've given it much thought. And Pastor Davis and I were talking before the broadcast. So many people look at Thanksgiving as a simple time to eat too much and to, how would you say, put on the feed bag, as they like to call it, and to watch sports and play games and have fun, and do not recognize that this is a day that's set aside, thankful that it has been set aside, for us to focus on saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for meeting our needs each and every day.
Amen.
May I suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, that we ought to be thankful, thankful, thankful. Listen, as we think about Thanksgiving, we need to be reminded that of all that God's done for us, And perhaps you're listening today, and as you're listening, you say, I don't know what God... Listen, if you awaken this morning, God gave you life today.
Amen.
And my bride can tell you, when I wake up in the morning, our prayer when we pray together is, thank you, Lord, for waking us up. There are many people who went to bed last evening didn't wake up this morning.
Amen.
So we need to be thankful for God waking us up. And whether you're saved or lost, it is God's hand that gives us life and breath and living. And we need to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you provided for us, all of your blessings on us individually and as a nation. So just what is Thanksgiving? By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your comments, your questions, and especially today, we want to hear from you a brief word of testimony
Amen.
Of what you're thankful for. So what should this season of Thanksgiving be for? What should we focus on? How should we express our thankfulness? Perhaps the greatest problem in America today is that of ingratitude. We're going to talk about ingratitude later in this broadcast. Let me just touch on it now very briefly. In Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19, we're going to read that on the air and a little later in this broadcast. Jesus healed 10 leprous men.
Amen.
Leprosy was an incurable disease then. He healed 10 men. Only one came back, just one, a tithe, a tenth. Out of the 10, only one came back and said, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus, for healing me.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, that should give you a good idea of the numbers in our nation today, perhaps even in our individual families, the numbers of those that will accept out of the good hand of God those blessings and benefits and fail to praise him for it. Ingratitude, the lack of thankfulness. Ladies and gentlemen, America has been blessed of God, perhaps more than any other nation on the face of the earth. So when did this special day of Thanksgiving start? And I won't go into the deep history of Thanksgiving. I've got a number of articles that talk about that, but let me just cut through the chase and tell you our first Thanksgiving was Thanksgiving in 1621. The pilgrims, thank God, they had spent, I believe it was a 66-day journey. They arrived at a place they didn't know, they didn't recognize. Was not even the a goal post, if you will, of where they wanted to land. But they had landed, and it was horrible winter. Multitudes of them died. They went hungry for the most part. But when the harvest came in, they thanked God for saving them, preserving them, and providing them. It wasn't until 1863, the National Day of Prayer by Abraham Lincoln, the National Day of Thanksgiving and praise and prayer, was recognized. It was set up as an official holiday. Let me just read you a few little lines from a massive article on that subject that I've appreciated for years. This article says, in 1621, the Plymouth colonists and the Winnebago Indians shared an autumn of harvest and feast that is acknowledged today as one of the first Thanksgiving celebrations in the colonies. For more than two centuries, days of Thanksgiving were celebrated by individual colonies and individual states. It wasn't until 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a National Day of Thanksgiving to be held each November. Further, this article states in this, therefore, the first brutal winter, most of the colonists remained on board of the ship, where they suffered from exposure, scurvy, outbreak of contagious diseases. Only half of the Mayflower original passengers and crew lived through the first New England spring. And it goes on to talk about then in November 1621, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and invited groups of the Native Indians, Native American allies, including the Winnebago Indian chief, now remembered as the America's first Thanksgiving. It goes on to say, although the Pilgrims themselves may not have used the term Thanksgiving, it was a time of festivity, and it lasted 3 days in their praising God and thanking him for what he had done for them in preserving them and providing a wonderful harvest. How many times, ladies and gentlemen, do we sit down at the table and fail to say, thank you, Lord, for the food that we're eating?
Amen.
Do we sit
Amen.
Down and have a fellowship meal with others and fail to say, thank you, Lord, for our friends and family? How many times do we fail to recognize that the health and the strength, whatever modicum of health you may have today, ladies and gentlemen, that it's God's hand that provides that health and that ability for us to have our movement and our being? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us time and time again to be thankful. Gratitude. Amen. Gratitude is a trait that is almost lost today.
Amen. Amen.
Pastor, we have a woke, entitled society today.
I have to wonder sometimes, Dr. Youngblood, what are they woke to?
Yeah.
Because when we look at the word gratitude, we infuse two words together.
That's right.
In there, and both of them invokes a spirit of thankfulness.
Yes.
Because when we look at being grateful.
Grateful.
Amen. We have to learn how to be grateful to God for what he has blessed us to accomplish. All of that you got, your big bank account, your fine house sitting on the hill, the big car parked in your garage is not yours.
That's right.
That belongs to God. God allowed you to be a steward over
amen.
That.
Amen.
So that'll, you have to be.
That'll preach.
Amen. You have to be grateful to him for what he has allowed you
yes.
to receive in this life. Even your family. Amen. You are a steward over your family
yes.
on today, amen.
Yes.
So that's what you need to do on today. Learn how to be grateful to God. And then you've got to have an attitude, a grateful attitude.
Yes.
That's the two words that comes together
right.
that makes up the word gratitude.
Gratitude.
Put the two together, and now you can lift your hands and give God praise.
Amen.
Amen.
That's a well spoken, spot on with what you said, Pastor. And I pray that our audience is listening today with ears in tune with what we're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about just some showpiece. We're not talking about having some play acting or some hypocritical mindset that I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. But listen, Pastor Davis is exactly right. If you've got breath in your body, you say, thank you, God, for the breath. If your heart's beating, thank you, Lord, for the heartbeat today.
Amen.
If
Amen.
You have a modicum of health, even if you are have some major or minor physical malady, we need to say thank you that we can get around whatever that would be. That we can at least have life and breath and being. And as long as we're alive, ladies and gentlemen, we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord Jesus. But we're in a society today, Pastor Davis, that I believe we have forgotten the word gratitude. We've forgotten the word thanksgiving. We have a society that feels they're entitled. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just touch on a little issue that I'm passionate about. This is the reason today we have Joe Biden in office is because of what he offered with the socialist, Marxist, communist agenda, that he offered everybody a higher wage, offered everybody free health care, everybody's going to have free education, et cetera, et cetera. So therefore, he got some votes, and they didn't get enough votes to win. We know that there was a major sleight of hand with the Chinese software, the Chinese hardware that put Biden in office, but nevertheless, he's in office, and we need to recognize that he's there because of the whole host of promises. The whole host of promises. So we have an entitled generation today that believes that if we put a socialist, Marxist, communist in office, that somehow we're going to have something. And let me just tie up the loose ends on that. Let's say you're getting $15, $18, $20 an hour. It's costing right now, groceries went up 9.6% in the past 90 days. We have gasoline that's doubled or 2.5 times, almost 3 times what it was just 6 months ago. So what do you have left in your pocket,
Amen.
Even though your wages are higher? You have less and less money in your pocket, and yet there's that attitude today of ingratitude that says, I want more.
Amen. Amen.
And Pastor,
Amen.
I am absolutely concerned about where we're going in a nation that has a attitude of ingratitude rather than thankfulness. If you, by the way, I must say this, back when I was growing up as a little tyke, as they called it then, with five in the family, my mother was working 90 hours a week. Her take-home pay was $26 a week.
My.
But God provided that $26 a week that even with that, we could go down to the little center square theater in our town and what was called the matinee on Saturdays. We could, for 25 cents, and she would pay 25 cents for each of us. That was a dollar and a quarter. 25 cents for each of us to go to that theater and watch a movie, have a bag of popcorn and a bottle of Coke that we could enjoy that 1 hour on Saturday. She was able to do that out of the $26 a week that God gave her. And she was thankful, thankful, thankful for life and health and breath and the ability to earn those dollars, as few as they were then and even today,
Amen.
To provide the needs for us. So I'm not talking about saying we need to have gratitude and thankfulness in our heart. If there's multitudes of dollars, if there's absolutely all of the things that your heart desires, that's not the point. The point is whatever you have, whatever we have, as Pastor Davis just said, if it's that car, if it's that home, if it is the breath that you breathe, whatever it may be, it's on loan from God.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
Not yours. It's not mine. It's on loan from God. Our sons and our daughters are on loan from God.
Amen.
They're not ours. They are on loan from God, and we are to be the custodians. We're to be the ones that are the stewards responsible for rightly honoring God with what he places in our hands. And today, we're talking about the opportunity for you to call in. Take a moment, 831-0917, and share with us briefly some of the things that you're thankful for today.
Amen.
It's not a time of eating and entertainment and sports and playing games. Thanksgiving season is a wonderful time to reflect on what God has done, to reflect on what God means in your life, to reflect on individually and nationally what God has done for us individually and for a nation.
Amen.
In fact, Pastor, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, the Bible says, by him, speaking of Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That means every day,
Amen.
Not just
Amen.
On Thanksgiving Day.
Amen.
That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to him and his name.
Amen.
And that's what we ought to do today.
Amen.
Is recognizing this Thanksgiving season what we're to be thankful for.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, we're to be thankful and praise him not just on Thanksgiving, but every day.
Every single day. That's right, Dr. Youngblood. As you said, the Bible also tells us, amen, from the rising of the sun
yes.
to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is worthy to be praised.
Absolutely.
Each and every day, you ought to be able to find something that you can give God praise for.
Yes.
As you said before, if your eyes come open in the morning and he allows your feet to hit the floor, you ought to be willing to give God the praise.
Yes.
Somebody has feet and they can't walk. Somebody's got a tongue and they can't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got eyes and they can't see. Somebody's got hands and they can't use them. But when you look at what you have, don't take it for granted. Because I heard a man say he was just recently sick on his sick bed and he couldn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. But now that that's been restored to him, God has brought him out and allowed him another chance
Amen.
To have his bodily functions again.
Mm-hmm.
He's really giving God the highest praise.
Amen. That's where it should be.
Amen.
But here's the thing that I'm always amazed by, Pastor. It seems like, for the most part, from the human nature, it is not until we've lost something, not until something has been taken away, not until something has been reduced in strength or power or ability, that we recognize what we had that we ought to be praising him for.
Amen.
But I'm thankful for those that go through that. In fact, I'm looking at an illustration, Pastor, and then I want to look at several verses of Scripture.
Amen.
Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry, a lot of people know simply from the standpoint of the Matthew Henry commentary, Matthew Henry Bible commentary. Matthew Henry was a theological biblical scholar, and he was once, as the terms were used in that day, he was accosted by thieves and robbed of his purse. Now, he didn't have a lady's purse. It's talking about his money, robbed of his purse. That was the term back in that day. In his diary, after he went on to be with the Lord, in his diary, these words were found reciting that incident. Here's what he said. Let me be thankful. This is Matthew Henry in his diary after his death. Let me be thankful. First of all, because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life.
All right.
Third, let me be thankful because although they took my all, it was not much at all. And fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed.
All book. Right, all right.
So even here's the thing, Pastor, that I want our listener, even in the midst of going through being robbed of all that he had, he looked at it with something to be thankful for.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Found four things, four absolute points that is in his diary about what he was thankful for.
Amen.
Because I was never robbed before, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Thankful because although they took my all, it was not very much. And fourth, because it was I that was robbed and not I who robbed.
Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Youngblood, thank God for that, because there's always two sides to every story.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always another way to look at things.
Yes.
Even when you look at things that might have worked to a disadvantage for you at that particular point in time, there is some good that probably came out of that if you look at it a little bit closer.
Just analyze it.
Now, yes. I thank God for that because I'm not going to give away my message. God has already given me a message on Psalm 34
mm-hmm.
because a lot of people like to recite that psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times
yes.
and his praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Yes.
Now, examine that verse real closely and see how many times you promised the Lord that you will bless him. You said you'll bless him at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But be careful what's coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says it's better not to vow a vow and not keep it than to vow it, huh?
And not do it.
And that's right. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So let's make sure that you know and understand when you vow a vow, when you make a promise to God, God expects for you to keep your promise to him. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he is. He's a promise keeper. Every single word in this Bible for a believer, and I hope and pray I'm talking to, amen, believers on this
morning. Amen.
Amen. Every single word in that Bible from cover to cover. If you love God, you got to understand those words as being a promise to you. Mm-hmm. Every single word. Why? The reason why I say that is because God's word has got so much power until he said, Dr. Youngblood, before one jot or one tittle, that's a dotting of the I and a crossing of the T. Mm-hmm. Before one jot or one tittle of my word fail, he said that the heaven and earth will pass away. So we can stand on his word. Mm-hmm. He is a promise
keeper. Isaiah 55, it talks about it not coming back void will accomplish the purpose that he sent it out for.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Thanksgiving today. Are you thankful? Are you thankful? Love to hear from you. What are you thankful for? What's God done in your life today, this week, this year? And I realize that if we talk about that, we look at it from a national standpoint, we see absolute horror after horror after horror taking place. We see the invasion on the southern border. We see the collapse of the monetary market. We're watching the skyrocketing prices in gasoline and grocery products. We're watching inflation, and at the same time, we're watching the distribution of goods not being distributed across America, and therefore a total shortage of all goods. If you want to order, buy a refrigerator or a range or an automobile, et cetera, most of the time you've got to place your order and wait 3 to 6 months to get it.
Amen.
Because of
Amen.
The backlog on distribution and manufacturing. And I know all of that. And all of that is horrific when we analyze it and look at the cause and the root source of it and where we're going. But as Dr. Fauci said, and I disagree with him, in the foundation of what he said, we're going to face a dark winter. And now he was making a prophetic dictation, a direction, if you will, based on what he knows is going to take place with COVID, because he invented it. He invented it. He's the root source, the cause of tax dollars being used to invent and man-design the COVID pathogen today that's killing thousands of people on a global basis.
Amen.
But even with all of that said, we need to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for America. Thank you for what you've done for us as a nation. Thank you for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you for the flag that waves over the sky in the skies with the red, white, and blue. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, today that you've given us life and health and breath and opportunity to have our movement and our being in you. Thank you for opening the doors of opportunity for us with job and ministry and whatever you've position that you're in professionally or occupationally. Say, thank you, Lord, that you've given me the job.
Amen.
And there are millions today, Pastor, that's refusing to work, sitting at home, not working at all.
Amen.
It is a sad, sad scenario, but we need to say, thank you, Lord. Now, Pastor, before we take our break for the top of the hour news, turn, if you will, please, in Psalms 105. And read the first five verses for us, and then we'll just briefly comment on that and take our break.
Amen. Psalm 105 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Can you sing on today?
Amen.
Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth.
Absolutely. Psalms 105, ladies and gentlemen, verses 1 through 5. We'll comment on that right after the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to have the news at 1 minute at the top of the hour. We're coming back right after the news. We're going to talk about, continue our conversation today about, are we thankful? And I pray that you are, and I pray that you'll call in and let us know briefly what you're thankful for today. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back in just 1 minute.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.